Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of
The cool down.
Oh, that's the one, Ceylon. Did you guys hear the tone of voice there? He's even got like the sexiness coming through there. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah? You need to capture it, guys. You need to capture it and package it and just add it onto that little video that you have at the beginning there. Just throw it in and then boom. And then you know, and then numbers will double.
So the question that we're gonna have to put out on Twitter is: Sex Panther or Celo's voice gonna do the trick for this December's birthday gift there for the gentleman in the evening? That's what we've got to ask. Anyway, as you can see, guys, we've got Wonga Ding in the house. We've got Celo Lolo Kala, and of course, a man who's been absent from our screen, but he's come back with new gear. Matthew White Matinho. Do we still call him Matinho this season?
Oh, the space shirt. Oh, the
yeah,
shirt.
Yeah.
We have to call him Matinho because he's. He's still got a Portuguese coach at the helm, so we still have to call him Matinho. But that shirt, man, that's the one.
Yeah, I dig it. Proper.
Gentlemen, we've also got
Carlo. You guys are going to remember this day. You guys are going to remember the first time you saw me wear it. You'll remember where you were. You remember how it made you feel. You'll tell your kids.
No, I'm pretty envious. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty envious, especially when I consider that both Liverpool and Spurs are sponsored by Nike, and that's what you've got. And, I mean, you can still see I'm wearing last season's kit for good reason. That's my opinion on that.
You know, your away kit is the one that's been selling out. That creamish one.
Yeah, but it's still. I don't know about the collar. I don't know. It's not
it's
that
fire,
one. Let's be honest. You like it?
Okay, so I like it, man. I like it.
But is it? If you had to compare the two, the Spurs jersey versus that one, which one would you say? Really?
Look, in terms of away kits, Spurs are going to be everyone this season. I think this is. It's going to be remembered. Collar has a question.
What is it?
Collar's asking. Marcus. He says he hasn't been up to date. How's Arsenal doing?
I was asking my hair blue. Not yet.
Oh, yeah, but Wonga, there's another question. Collar's also asking you there.
Oh, how's Arsenal been doing? They still, I think they slowly, they just put one step forward. That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
Well, that's good news.
We're not out
that's
of it yet.
We might as well. Hey, that's one match I don't even know how. I saw the goal was dubious. That's all I know.
Who is this?
Your goal.
Arsenal.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the Arsenal game. Let's stick to the order. We're talking about the man's jersey there. It's a nice jersey. Sorry. We're going to stick, Spurs are the first game of the weekend. But also, shout out to Pums for being on the line, Carlo being on the line, Marcus, and of course, Aljun. Thank you, gentlemen. We look forward to having a conversation with the lot of you. We're going
to
kick off. Crystal Palace 3, Spurs 0. This is not a result I saw coming. I can tell you that much.
Yo, look, I saw it, Matthew. I didn't watch the game, but when I saw the result, I thought I was seeing things. Okay? I will not lie to you. I looked like 3-4 times at it, and I was like, oh, hectic. But yeah, you'll tell us what happened there.
I had to check what was going on. Like, did Spurs start the game with like minus 5 people or something like that? Oh, then I saw that you guys got a red card, and then after the red card is when they scored. You know, so I was checking scored before the red card, they scored after the red card.
No, but I mean, I watched the game with Carlo, and we were saying even before the red card, Spurs didn't look up for it. They were very, very off the pace, very lackluster. And I think, to be honest, it shows Spurs have a challenge when Son and Bergwijn are both missing. Kane looks so isolated there. They were playing three defensive midfielders in, Skip, Winks and Højbjerg. And it was, there's the space between midfield and attack was so big, and there was no kind of connectivity and impetus up front. We had a injury at the back. Dyer went off after about 20 odd minutes or so. He went off injured. So we had a bit of a makeshift defense, and Tanganga, his inexperience showed big time.
Can you confirm what Collar said there?
Yeah. It was a tough day. I don't know if there's any visual camera proof of my reaction. But it wasn't the result I'd expected, but we looked well off. It didn't look like a good, even before the red card. The red card was deserved. Tanganga really showed his inexperience. Zaha knew exactly what he was doing with him, goaded him into that, the first foul. And the second one was just a rush of blood to the head. It was a needless slide in. He was, it wasn't in a dangerous position, whatever. He just dove in for no reason, got himself sent off. And I think after that, even when we were, given we were already playing badly, we were always on the back foot. The penalty was fair. His arm was out. Wasn't an intentional handball, but by the rule these days, his arm was up. You're gonna, those are given every week. You're not gonna, yeah, it was sort of a weird position. Like he was, like, I'm not sure what you would do it, why you would do that in real life. Like, you know, it was like you were giving a high five to a T-Rex.
Kind he was of. Like, he was like, he was like one of those, he was like one of those, traffic cops.
Yeah, you know, he's just letting one car go. Just the one.
Yeah,
the
one car.
but Matt, was Spurs bad or Crystal Palace?
So let me put it this way. Towards the end of the game, Crystal Palace started cheering, "Are you Arsenal in disguise?" Ooh. So I think that tells you that we weren't playing great.
Yeah. I mean, imagine nowadays you get called Arsenal, that's an insult. Hey, Wonga, how do you feel about that one? Eh?
No, we won on the weekend. Didn't lose, so I don't know.
Yeah, you had a big relegation 6-pointer you pulled through there. But, look, it was a bad performance all round. It didn't get better after the, in the second half. There was, that's obviously where the, all the goals happened. And the team just looked off it. Harry Kane, I don't think Harry Kane had a single touch in Crystal Palace's box. We just weren't up for it on the day. Very bad day at the office. Maybe it's better to have it happen now. I think Nuno can go back and reevaluate some stuff. I think we need to rethink our shape. I think it highlighted the fact that we need, someone like Ali needs to be playing deeper, playing part of the midfield in order to be that link between attack and defense, because that's what was missing on the day. And the intensity, the speed off the ball and stuff just wasn't there. I think it's, if we play like that, too many times this season, we're going to get punished more.
How long is Sonny out for?
I actually haven't seen the latest update. I'm hoping, I actually purposefully didn't read anything today because I'm hoping he's just going to come back tomorrow and I'm not even going to have to worry. But I haven't seen the latest update. I know him and Bergwijn both got injured on international duty. Skip got injured on the day. Dyer got injured on the day. So we look...
you got players into Argentina without permission. They have to quarantine. Yeah, you guys are just a mess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's easy to say that from where you're sitting, Selo, you know, like...
His ivory tower is quite a tall one. You know, let's be honest.
But no, it's true. We have got a little bit of a. It's not a crisis. The word is used far too liberally these days. But we've got a bit of a challenging period coming up. I would say the next 2-3 weeks are going to be a little bit troublesome. Which is really a shame because if you look at the likes of Tanganga and Ali and them, they were having a really fantastic season so far. Tanganga had grown hugely. This was a bad day for him, but I don't think. Hopefully it doesn't derail the progress he's made. Hopefully Ali can come back into the midfield and picked up where he left off last week or 2 weeks ago now. But it definitely was one to forget for Spurs. So let's talk about the United game. I'm sure Selo's
No. Hang on, Matt. I just want to ask in terms of, I mean.
Oh, he froze.
Oh, so it's not us. Okay, good.
This guy now is going to ask a question, but you can't ask the question now, which is a bit awkward. So what do we?
Well,
do?
I'm happy to chat about what Carlo raised. I mean, we talked about it on Saturday as well, where whether there is potentially some sort of hangover from Kane's actions and whether that's affecting the way the team play with him. Part of me says I hope not, because I think they're all professionals and they know if they work with Kane, they know what they get. They're guaranteed a load of goals. But at the same time, there were passages of play where he was quite clearly isolated. The passes weren't forthcoming. The runs were a bit off. I mean, that said, we know that over the last year that the real partnership has been Kane and Son. And when one of them is missing, it's not quite there. But I think... I hope it's not a start of things to come. I hope that come next week and the team will get back to kind of working with him well. But he did look very isolated on Saturday. He was very, very off the pace himself. And as I said, didn't get the kind of support he needed. The ball just wasn't coming to him the way he needed it.
No, but I think it'll definitely, it needs some time, I guess. But I think it is a bit of a is it a concern that he hasn't scored a goal yet? Or is it a concern that he hasn't had many chances?
Well, he scored in Europe, so I think his scoring touch is still there. He scored when we played Passos Ferreira when they came
He scored two there.
So his scoring touch is still there. I think we're not creating enough chances. We have been playing slightly more defensively. And I think, you know, this weekend, and Pums is making a good point, this weekend's a tough one. I think it's Sunday we play Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah. Chelsea.
And you know, I really would rather be playing Arsenal this weekend, to be honest. But
it's not yet.
Yeah, so it's going to be. I think that's going to be a huge one because you know Chelsea are in are on fire form wise, and the kind of mistakes we made at Palace, they'll get punished threefold at Chelsea. So I think we're really going to have to step up our game, and I think also to a certain extent we need to find a way to unlock our attacking outlet as well, because that was clear against Palace. We were almost too defensive. We didn't have enough outlet, so we were inviting pressure in. Time and time again, we were just clearing the ball up halfway and then bringing it back again. I think that's a huge challenge. But hopefully we can turn it around. You never know. Maybe have another day like we did against City, against Chelsea.
No, but these things happen, man. Don't worry too much. Oh, is this guy back now? Wow. Okay. But don't worry too much. Claudio, what are you going to ask, or have you forgotten the question?
I have not forgotten.
I need to blow my nose quickly.
Yeah, quickly.
You know why? Because he knows we're going to talk about Arsenal and the tears are coming. So he's blowing his nose, but he's actually dabbing his eyes. That's what's going on there. I just wanted to ask the question. It's saying, you know, Cuddle saying the team looked like they didn't want to support Kane in his opinion. How much of a factor? Because, I mean, without him, they seem to have fought for each other. That opening game against Man City, the crowd were behind him. He decides, you know, he wants to come. He says he's staying. And let's be honest, it wasn't him choosing to stay. It was the fact that Levy wasn't letting him go. So he spun the story saying, I'm staying for the fans. How much does that impact the squad, in your opinion? And how much more difficult does it make it for the coach to also, you know, navigate the situation?
Yeah, we chatted a little bit now while you were powdering your nose. And I think it is potentially a factor. He did seem very isolated in the Palace game. Me and Carlo talked about it on the day as well. It's sort of, he does look like, and I don't know whether it's a factor of personalities choosing that or whether it's the setup was wrong for the day, but he didn't seem to be getting a lot of the ball. And I mentioned also when Son's not there, Kane always looks to struggle a bit because Son seems to know where his runs are going to be. And he does a lot of the running and getting into the good position and frees up space for Kane as well. So they haven't really got a solution to that. Kane did score for us in the Passos Ferreira game. And I think it shows he's still got the scoring touch and when the chances come, he'll still take them. But we looked very disjointed at Palace. I hope that's not a sign of things to come. I hope it was a one-off bad day at the office that they bounced back, but it will be, I think the next week or two are going to be huge. It's going to be a real test of Nuno as a leader of the team and the squad themselves being able to bounce back and show their worth in the bad times as well as the good.
That's fair point. Mongo, it's your time now. Arsenal, one,
time
Norwich.
Time is now.
Time is now. First 3 points of the season, Mongo. First 3 points. Not bottom of the
first
anymore.
Goal. And first goal, guys.
First goal, and also above Newcastle. Finally above Newcastle too.
A week of first for Arsenal.
Yeah, look, I think that was I'm trying to get the game up here myself. But I think that was a good result. It was
what number are they in the log now?
Let's check now.
17, I think.
I'll check now for you. Okay. This doesn't work. Nah. We're 16, boy. Don't come put us down.
Thanks, 16.
No, look, that was a must win, guys. I think even Arteta knew that, fans knew that, the players knew that. I think for me, I was just happy the fact that, I think the whole game you could actually see that Arsenal wanted to obviously win, you know. Of course you're going to get those couple of times when you get your opponents coming at you, taking shots. But I think, I mean, Arsenal handled it well. And then again, you know, you look at the squad, who's missing there? Daddy Long Legs? Who's the other one? Mr. Clumsy?
Who's Daddy Long Legs?
What's his name? Holden. The clumsy guy can be Chambers, and Shaka's just Shaka boy. I I can't.
Did you come up those with these names three, now, or what happened?
I just thought of it now. Just a moment. Kind of nicknaming, or is this what you guys call your guys?
I just thought of it now.
Arsenal fans have revoked all of the players' names up until the point that they start. They what, ninth on the log. As soon as they break the 10th, and then they can regain their names back. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonga, I wanted to ask. I saw. Apparently, this week, you guys fielded the youngest side in the league.
Oh, and is it?
Worked. Yeah, apparently, and it seems to have worked. I mean, you had a couple of older guys in the side, and obviously Aubameyang was playing, and Pep's a bit older than the others. But apparently, other than that, it was quite a young side. And I wonder if maybe that's something Arteta should be doing more often. You know, like
he should be. Yeah. Look, I mean, the last season we said it. Solo said it as well. You said that our better team, it was the team that was playing Europa, and that was the young guys. Mm. And I said it again last season that people weren't being punished, but you know they weren't suffering any consequences for the performances, you know. And I mean, for me, it's not that he's playing bad, you must take him off. It's just that the guy's on bad form. There's probably someone on the bench that can do better. Why don't you put him on? You know, there's not this thing of, give him another turn. You know, I mean, as a manager, you got to find the balance. But I think in the Premier League, you need results, you know, especially on a team like Arsenal, you need results over, anything else, you know. A guy like Lukonga, which I just watched the first game he played, and I was like, look, this is a guy who definitely needs more game time. And surely, if he plays over Shaka, we're going
to
get...
I think the thing is also he's young. I think you need to also watch. You can't put too many young people together. You know what I mean? I think there was that interview that you spoke about, that Edu interview. It speaks about five players. The five players are the five leaders of Arsenal. It's what's this guy's name? Bernd Leno, Aubameyang, Lacazette, Partey, and Shaka. Those are the five leaders of Arsenal in terms of experience. They're the five leaders in terms of experience. And I understand why he mentioned Shaka, because Shaka is the captain of Switzerland. He has been a captain of Arsenal. I know you don't like what I just said, right? Cool. But that's what he said. That's what me. It's what did you say? He's got the five
leaders. He didn't say anything.
I'm letting you finish. Because the thing is, Selo, no matter what Edu says, I don't care what he says. You can tell me that Chaka's the leader. You can tell me that the Gunnosaurus is the leader. I don't care. The fact is, these leaders...
I think the impact of Gunnosaurus is constantly overlooked, to be honest.
Is Gunnosaurus still around? Is he still around?
I don't know.
Did Ozil give up his contract?
Did he go with Ozil? I don't know.
Gunnosaurus was money was used to fund William Sanu, but William's gone now, so you should get Gunnosaurus back.
But I mean, look, Claudio, looking at those three guys are not playing, right? Holding, Shaka, and I know it's a Norwich. We lost to Brentford. We lost to Brentford with those guys on the field. But here, this team that played today, the defense was good. Tumiyasu, that new defender, I liked what I saw from him.
Good little debut,
huh? The summer
debut. Well, yeah. You see.
Did you see that meme? Did you see that meme with him and Pepe, and they're saying it was like Rush Hour 3 with what's his name?
Jackie Chan.
So that might be good news. Not just all comedy then at Arsenal if he's putting in a shift there. Hey Wonga.
Yeah, look, that's the thing. He did put in a shift, and it's I just hope there can be consistency on that. You know, I mean, Arsenal took. They let 30 goal, 30, sh- I mean, 10 shots on their side, but Arsenal took 30 shots. I don't think they've done that in years, in the Premier League, to be honest with you. If they've done that before. But they were attacking. That's just all I want to see is that a team that wants to win. But after this, you're going to come, when Shaka comes off his record, they're going to put him in. I don't care. He can be the leader of what, but if you can't help our team win, like, words are not going to win anything. You can talk as much as you want. You can be a leader in that sense. But words are not going to help us win games. What I saw this weekend was a team that probably next match can probably give us something to shout for there. But
can I just ask, is there not a little bit of worry that a team can take 30 shots against Norwich and only score one? I'm pretty sure if you gave me 30 shots at Norwich, 30. I'd get one.
Nah. Listen, wow, listen, so because so why I say that? Why I say that? Because there are games like that. City, I can't remember which season it was when they won the league. But I remember Sterling. Who did they play against? I can't remember. But Sterling scored.
We're not talking about Sterling. Here.
But listen.
Sterling.
Seven
on target.
Wow. Yeah, listen. Sterling, I remember Sterling scored a goal for Man City. It was like 9 minutes in one league campaign that they won. And they were banging at the goals. I can't remember who they were playing against. Some many shots went wide, many shots were saved by the keeper, but only that one goal, went in. And I mean, that's the goal that they needed. But the fact of the matter is that you're gonna have matches like that. Had that been the same Arsenal that played the week before, probably would have ended 0-0. You might even concede one as well in that. So that's why I say it's a positive step, because we took the shots. We missed opportunities that should have gone in, but we got the result. You know, that's at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Yeah, we got the 3 points.
But do you think Arteta will trust in the players that performed in this game? Or do you think he's going to bring back Leno and Xhaka and throw them on and potentially derail this progress?
Look, I think Ramsdale, Leno needs to. Who's your number one? No, man, there can't even be a question. Leno's definitely number one. That can't be a question. I was also shocked.
Why did you forecast 20-something for Ramsdale? Why do that then? Clearly, the player, man, Leno wants him. They want to get rid of him.
You've got to go Nick Starthard on a free transfer.
Free?
What you see now, Celo? The same. You guys are questioning those signings. But guess who made that signing? The same guy you're just saying now. That's saying that Xhaka and all those guys are leaders. What the heck? Yeah. That guy can't even make a proper signing. How the heck would he know? How the heck would they know who the leaders on the team or what a leader is? No. I doubt what they're doing. I mean, look, Shaka's not playing by chance, to be actually honest with you. From his old form.
So, out of curiosity, I mean, the one and only goal so far of the season did come from a lot of hard work done by a certain player that you're also not too fond of. Pepe. Mm. He did a lot of hard work there. He didn't quite get the ball across the line, but if it wasn't for him, that goal doesn't go in. So what was his performance like on the weekend?
Come on, Roddy, come on. Our penalty. Fuck off.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, those that are on live, Man United are still in the Champions League. And Ronaldo has scored his first Champions League for Man United this season already. Am I correct in saying that?
That's correct. Yes. And I think we should have got a penalty there. That's the ref robbed us. Ref dropped us. Ronnie ran into the box. He ran into a box. He shielded. You know that Harry Kane shield where you shield yourself into the player and the player touches you and you fall over? He did that Harry Kane shield and the player touched him and then he went over and he wasn't given a penalty. Come on, man.
Unbelievable.
Harry Kane gets that every single day of the week and then now Ronaldo doesn't get anything.
It's because he's Portuguese,
bro. Get Celo one of those little mic sticks for when he's talking, telling us about the game from the sidelines, like, you know, like they have at the real matches.
Like this. Yes.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's got the ball. He's getting the ball like Harry Kane. There he goes. Oh, no, there's no penalty. The penalty.
The next round of investment needs to be in that, guys. I think it doesn't feel right, him telling me and not holding that in front of his face.
Hang on. We were talking about Arsenal. Sorry, Wonga. Come back in there.
To answer your question,
shout out to Corwin for joining us yet again. Good on you. As you were, Wonga.
No, to answer your question, I don't think, like, it's not, Pepe's not a player that I hate. I just think, like I said before, we should have
given
people.
You just think you don't like him.
No. We just need to give people chances if guys are not performing. We can't be trying to force things and we're not getting, I mean, the results. His week, his performance was good. Even the result for us was good, but we must remember it is a Norwich. But it's a positive, but it is a Norwich, so there's still a lot of work to be done from everyone. Despite this result, it's good work, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
But all in all, you're happy with the result and you think there is progress.
Yeah, we've won, and I think there's obviously beat a team that we should have, that we should beat. So there, yeah, there is progress. But also, and also, just to get to, Celo said there was a, our goal was dubious. It wasn't dubious. According to the rules, it's, I mean, that, that's, that was a definitely onside.
You know, guys, when you say according to the rules, that means it's dubious.
It's according to the rules. No.
According to clause 3.5992, you know, the left toe of the player is pointing in the north-south direction.
No, he was miles onside. What do you guys say? He was miles onside.
This way. If that was called against you, Wonga, would you go, fair enough?
Yeah, it was. I would have said the same thing, 100%. At first, you look offside because he shoots. When he shot, he was offside. But then the ball hits the post and then hits him the second time. The second time Pepe hits it, Aubameyang is onside position. So you can't, and it's way onside. Well, not way onside, but he's, it's a quite a fair margin onside. So
I didn't see it, but the way you talks describe to it makes it sound dubious to me.
Gents, look at this one. Darren coming in here saying Wilshere's in talks with Arteta to return to Arsenal. The man is clutching. You know, when I see, did you see that interview you did with The Athletic? I shared it on the Discord group about him looking for a club. No one wants to touch him. He regrets leaving Arsenal. This is all gearing up for a return back to Arsenal. This is a guy, in my opinion, he's done this to himself. And now he's, I mean, how does this help you? Bringing this player in with an old legacy, if he does take him on,
the thing with Wilshere is he was such a talented player. And it was hard for me to say that. You know, he was a real Arsenal player. He really hated Spurs. He made it very clear on a few occasions. But he was an undeniably talented player. And as much as I didn't really follow him that much, there was always a sense of he could have done a lot more with his career. He could have, you know, in many ways he was very similar to Joe Cole back in his day, and that raw talent, that kind of, he was precocious and he'd try stuff that nobody else would think of, but he never hit the heights. And part of that was because of the time.
He was what? Hey? He was what? Let's get a dictionary. He was what?
Precocious.
Precocious.
Yeah.
Dictionary.
It's a word. It's a word. I didn't even make it up. It's a real word.
I'm just saying I'm learning new words today.
Spurs is based in the north of London. Am I right there, Matt? Spurs, north of London. Yeah, north of London there, Celo. Not Manchester sort of English. This is North London English.
So he's anyway, precocious. He was a player who could have done so much more. And it has been a bit sad that he kind of faded from... I'll tell you what, Celo. We'll start a goal lounge word of the day. I'll just drop you a word in the Discord.
We need a goal lounge thesaurus. Words used on the show, and then we just need a, except for real dictionary terms. I mean, like Wonga's top bins. What does that really mean? Because we know an Arsenal player hasn't hit top bins for a long, long time. So what does that mean in the context of goal lounge? Wonga just sits there. He's like, okay, all right. Darren's saying he is broken. No one wants him.
He could be good for the dressing room. You know, when there's a lot of Arsenal players that you get the sense that they shy away from when it gets too hard, they kind of, and he does seem like the kind of player who'd get in people's faces and make them man up and stuff. Maybe Arteta should bring him in as an assistant or something, you know, and just someone to kind of be that hard man and kind of be the bad cop, because I don't think there's a lot of leaders. I mean, Xhaka's probably one of them who does do that. He seems like a more vocal kind of leader, but it seems like a lot of what he says maybe doesn't make a lot of sense, or people don't listen, you know, and he just like waffles.
But I do want to ask though, does he deserve this chance at Arsenal? He left the club. He wasn't doing, Wilshere. I'm saying Wilshere. If he comes back, does he really, like, if you consider the talent there is in the world, if you consider the people that are out there and all these things, a player like this has been to the mountaintop. He took it for granted, in my opinion, personally. It didn't quite work out for him. He chose to then.
Took it for he chose granted. Then to go. Injuries.
He did, like, let's be injuries, but also let's. He made a decision. They wanted to keep him. Arsenal wanted to keep him. And he said, he wanted to try his luck somewhere else. And then he tried his luck somewhere else and it's backfired completely. Now he wants to go back. So in my opinion, especially when you take the concept of where the club is at, is this like, should they be doing that? But anyway, Wonga,
I think what's interesting, if you think about it, United got Ronaldo back. and Arsenal are going to get Wilshere back. And it's a lovely parallel. You know?
It's the same, man. It's the same.
It's not the same. That's nonsense. It's not the same.
I called heroes back.
I was joking around by saying even Xhaka is there, but we need to be bringing quality. I mean, if he's quality, if he can still play, then I'll accept him in the team, you know. We know he's injury prone, and you got to ask yourself where will he play, what will be his role, like Matt was saying. Yeah, I just don't know, man. I mean, and then you think back and you think if you're getting a guy like this, like, no, but let me say, look, I can't even say anything because he's not even in the team yet. It's not saying, they just talk. So if it happens, I'll be shocked. I can't lie to you. That means he probably can still play. But I can't just see him just coming into the team. I can't see that happen.
Well, I mean, no. Bournemouth didn't want to touch him, and then the championship, just putting that out there. All right, Colwell, one last thing on Arsenal before we move on. Wonga, where do you think Arsenal will finish in the league considering the bad start?
Do you think they can hold on to 16th?
Colwell, I think we'll definitely obviously be in the top half of the table.
Obviously,
that's
obvious. But okay.
That's a bold use of the word obviously. Wonga, add that to your word of the day.
We will finish top of the table, but this will. You see, if we're not going to play the same, the sort of give these guys that performed well today a chance, I will fear our future in this league, this year's league. But if we do giving guys like Lukonga and we try and maybe mix it up in terms of leaving Xhaka out, holding out the same defense you played today, I think we'll see better results coming in this season. Further, we'll probably definitely will finish top half.
That sounded like a very, very well put together diplomatic answer, Wonga. Good job. You know, if Arteta needs an assistant or needs someone to do PR, I think you're the guy to do that. Good job, man.
like a politician, yeah.
Exactly like a politician. Right, gentlemen, Leicester 0, Man City 1. Now, this game was only decided by one goal, but it was end-to-end, and Man City in the end did manage to get across the line. I don't know, in terms of Leicester's performance, does anyone want to critique on what they think they could do this season?
I think I've been surprised by Leicester, because I thought, you know, they've had a couple of tough fixtures, no doubt, but I was expecting them to be really strong this year, and they just seem a little bit off it.
Whose phone's that?
It's Wonga's.
I'm using my phone, Oaks.
Okay, cool. I'm just hearing stuff. Like,
it's not my phone. Like, I'm using the phone right now.
It's definitely Claudio's phone. You could see in his eyes. He was like, oh, shit.
It's you know those family group chats. It's going on. They can hear us talking about the show, and they're like, "Hey, poor Arsenal, poor Wonga." That's their feeling for you. That's what's going on here.
Okay, no worries. No, but yeah.
But anyway, before we talk about that, back to Leicester. Matt
was saying about Leicester. Sorry.
I thought I was finished. You know, an honest man never has to remember what he said. So, Leicester, I had expected to kind of hit the ground running this season. I really thought they'd done some really, they've been building a really good project. Rodgers has kind of, I think his time in Scotland really humbled him and taught him how to knuckle down. I think the side, I was expecting him to really hit the ground running, and I've been a little bit kind of, you know, they're not quite what they were. Pums is right. They're a bit inconsistent, but they're not. They're almost like a much better version of Leeds. You know what I mean? You don't know what you're going to get with them.
That's an interesting or fair comment, rather, because if we're looking at it, the games they have lost this season, sure, there's only four games being played, but they lost to West Ham and now they've lost to Man City. So all in all, Man City, cool. You could put that down as an expected loss. But the game against West Ham is an interesting one, because that might be a possible shift. Because when we're looking at what Leicester did last season and over the last couple of seasons, what Brendan Rodgers has been building, the question is now, if we're looking at a West Ham, how good are they really in comparison? Mm. And that's what I'm very curious to find out. And also with the talks of Brendan Rodgers now, you know, Nick spoke about it on Thursday, Arsenal having a contingency plan. This is slowly becoming Arsenal TV, if now that I'm thinking about it. But contingency plan, Brendan Rodgers. So you wouldn't see that. So Brendan Rodgers never, if Leicester season don't go the way in which is expected, a move to Arsenal won't be on the cards for Brendan Rodgers, no?
I'm sure he'd have better offers than that. What does he want to play in the championship for?
He wants to play in the Champions League, you know, not fight relegation.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, to be honest. All jokes aside, I think the Rodgers, if he was to leave Leicester, I would imagine he'd have
young boys just
scored. 1-1, gents. See, I just got a WhatsApp message saying 1-1.
It was coming.
Yep. But they're playing with Man United. As things stand, Celo, you were talking about the red card and you're saying the Bissaka red card was a red card, no?
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna say that if I'm in the other dugout, I'm gonna be saying that's a red card, you know what I mean? So it's one of those, yeah.
We're not doing letter of the law for this one. It's a genuine...
No letter of the law.
You don't even need the book, you eyeball it.
Yeah, so gentlemen, okay, we kind of touched on Brendan Rodgers not leaving. Man City, though, we know one thing. If we're looking at a Liverpool, Man United, and a Chelsea, what we saw this weekend was goals scored by their front men. Something Man City do not have, and they didn't have that last season, yet they still won the league. Do you think they can continue this season in the same manner without having that killer player, Kane-less sort of player up front?
Yeah, I think so. Also, and you know, the jokes are going around, but they've got some solid forward players. They've got Sterling, they've got Gabriel Jesus, they've got players who are going to score goals, you know. And, I think there's a challenge around their ability to see every single game out. They're not going to be able to grind out 1-0 wins all the time, but they've also proven that they're a side who've got depth and have got consistency and have got kind of reserves of will and determination that see them over the line. Last season, you know, it was Christmas. No one thought City had a chance. They were well off the pace by then. And they Guardiola knows. I still think this season, I don't know if City are going to win it now. The way, having seen how each side has started, I'm beginning to feel like it could be Chelsea's year. But I think City are always going to be there or thereabouts. They're going to beat a lot of sides this season. You know, with or without a striker on the field. I don't think any of us are going to go into a game and think, well, at least I don't have Harry Kane. We'll all be fine. You know, this is a serious side. They can do some serious damage.
Looking at it, I mean, they've got, that game there, I'm looking here, they're 25 shots, 8 on target. I mean, they were...
That's almost as good as Arsenal.
Yeah, almost. but I think, I mean, look, they're taking many shots. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, soccer, you score. It's not about who scores.
For Man United, yeah. These are not looking good for Man United, guys.
Hold up the little thing so we know it's a live update.
Things are not looking good for Man United. Young boys are still attacking. They're about to get a corner right now. They're on the attack. And I think, let's see what happens in this corner. A player, I don't know his name, he just swings in the corner and it goes to the back post. Oh, he shoots! Oh, and then it ricochets. Oh, great. Okay, great clearance there by...
Are we really letting him practice his commentary skills on the show?
Biased commentary skills.
We're going to see it, guys. We were here when he was learning. We were his first audience.
And he needs a catchphrase. What's his catchphrase? And when they take a shot, what's your catchphrase there, Silo?
Use precocious in it.
Precocious. May let it look precocious.
We've got Warren on the line saying, "Sup, guys? Oh, Wonga, see that smile behind those eyes? #VW. Well, fair enough. Wonga, hey, we can see that smile. Those teeth are whiter than usual. I don't know if you got the Colgate out for the show, but they're definitely shining today. Right, gentlemen, we do know that obviously Celo's practicing his commentary skills, but Champions League aside, and despite the live score that's currently happened, Man United 4 and Newcastle 1 at home, Old Trafford, the return of the prodigal son, you know, top of the log as things stand. Celo, what do you have to report there?
Before you jump in, Wonga, if you guys got Wilshire back, you could have days like this. you know? Returning hero, bangs in a brace, something to cheer about. Did you see all those dudes hugging and crying in the crowd? You could have that.
That's crazy.
Those guys were emotional, eh? Those guys were flipping emotional, bro. I never seen such emotion in the fans. Like, it's just
crazy. Carlo was the same.
Was it?
You talk about tears on Saturday.
Yes, Carlo was giving the tears. because obviously I think it was a great game. I think, you know, more than anything, we obviously took a bit of time to get going. But eventually I think the poacher there, Cristiano Ronaldo in the box, you know, I think it was unfortunate. I don't even know who's that goalkeeper. I think it's Newcastle's third choice goalkeeper.
Freddie Woodman.
He had a mare. He didn't have a great game. You know, even the second goal he could have saved through his legs, you know.
Yes.
But that happens. And he'll learn from it. He's a young boy. But those, I think, you know, with Man United, guys, you often get this energeticness about them, you know, sometimes where you get the team, can actually just, you know, just blow another team away, you know, and score those four goals, you know. It's not that we played very well, you know. I think it's just that we obviously took our chances, you know. Someone was saying that Cristiano Ronaldo should have gotten a hat trick if we created a lot of chances. You know, if we were creating chances, Ronaldo only basically got a couple of chances, and he obviously scored them. Bruno reminding everyone else that he's not a penalty merchant. Four goals, all of them not penalties. Man United doesn't have a penalty yet this season, just to show you that we can actually score goals without penalties. you know, and obviously Jay Ling's doing his thing there. You know, I don't know what his celebration is, but I think something like this, you know, that type of thing. You know, he scores his goal there at the end as well. So yeah, it was a good result. I'm still not happy with the fact that we couldn't keep a clean sheet. I've been crying about that the whole season, and it happened again. But yeah, let's push on. Obviously, there's tougher challenges to come.
So, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask. I mean, last week we spoke about it. You know, I chuckled about it. Van de Beek, you know, telling us what Ole said.
No, but he has a game. He started today.
But I mean the league. I mean the
Champions League. Champions League is the same.
Did he start today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No.
But you can still ask it, because the thing is, at the end of the day as well, is that he wants to play in the Premier League, and I think, you know, so Ole made a bad sub here where he took off Sancho and he brought on Dalot right back. Cool, that's a good sub. Yeah, you want to get a right back in. Then at halftime, he brings on Varane and he takes off Donny at halftime. Where now he's moving to a back three at the back, right? Now he's brought on pressure. I'm just talking about this game. In Newcastle, we won. He's bringing the pressure. He's allowing the young boys to come at him, basically, by changing a formation. Play, continue the back four, keep Donny in the midfield. He was doing decently, but now you bring on another player. They haven't played this formation this season so far. Now it's going to be a bit confusing, is it not? You know what I mean? You know, imagine now Liverpool on the weekend are going to play a back three, Claudio. Isn't that going to be a bit confusing? It's going to take a bit of time to get your bearings right.
Adjust,
you know what I mean? So now he does this in the game, and now that's why they scored. I think, you know, I think he's let on the pressure. So it's something that Man United fans, we are very scared of this season, is that we've got, you know, what I was telling a friend of mine is that we've got the ingredients. We've got all the ingredients, guys. But do we have Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen? Do we have Jamie Oliver in the kitchen?
Yep.
You know, or do we have Claudio Barrera in the kitchen? You know, that's the question. That's a question.
Depends what we're making. Nice Calvert soup for the starter, and then we nice espetada for the main. Then you're good to go.
So the question is, do we have the right chef? And I don't think we've got the right chef. We've got the ingredients to make an amazing starter. You know what I mean? You know, some beef carpaccio or a springbok carpaccio, something like that. You know, with a nice main meal, a pork belly. You know, with a jus. You know what I mean? You know, and a nice creme brulee. You know, something like that. You know. But guys, we've got the ingredients. But can we have a guy to put the right meal together and present it and package it nicely.
Someone who knows, at least, at the very least, someone who knows how to read the recipe. I think that's the difference. You know, one step. He's got them there. Just give him the, yeah. What did Pumalani say? I think Trey definitely has Ollie's nudes.
I think also getting back to the United Newcastle game, it was very clear when you watched Newcastle, there wasn't a coherent plan other than don't concede. Yeah. But that Saint-Maximin and Almiron, they showed their quality again. Saint-Maximin is such a danger. He pushes it. He really does not deserve to be stuck with that with Newcastle, or at least not with Newcastle with that manager, because he's got his directness and his ability to pull defenders out of position and just run at a defense is incredible. And the work he was doing, there was a period sort of just after the United's first goal where him and Almiron in particular looked really dangerous. And when they got the what was then the equalizer, it really looked there could be a game on here. But then Newcastle again went back to 10 men behind the ball and it all went
but
one way.
But again, in that scenario, the difference was Ronaldo, technically speaking. Because at that moment, it was tough. It was tough. And again, if we talk about the chef in the kitchen, the manager, I mean, Nick spoke about the egg on the face. There was huge potential there at that moment in time. The difference was a world-class player who made a decent run, had first touch, and then a decent strike, and the keeper shat himself because of the player who struck the ball. That was the difference. Yeah. And when I'm looking at United right now, it kind of feels like they've signed a Van Persie again in the scenario where that season that they did win the league title with Van Persie, they weren't the greatest team, but they had the finisher. And so the question I have for you, Selo, is from a Man United perspective, Ronaldo, how much influence or impact will he have in terms of them actually being the difference, winning the title or not winning the title? Do you think that's realistically on the table for you?
Yeah, no, I think we've got a poacher, you know what I mean? I think we've got a player, guys, where, you know, but he's a poacher. He's in the right place at the right time. And I think, you know, the older Ronaldo's gotten, obviously he's adjusted his game and he knows that what his limitations are. Cristiano Ronaldo, there's supporters running on the field. Oh, come on, run. Yes, catch him. They missed him. Oh, security.
Well, the squad is running on the field. Yeah. There he goes. He's running. They're trying to catch him, but he's falling. He's sidestepping. He's
going
to
make it to the big time if you don't pick up your microphone. Yeah,
sorry,
pick up the mic.
Sorry, Lance. But
not precocious at all.
What I want to say about Cristiano, I think it adds that little something extra. I think, you know, it's not necessarily a signing that we are crying out for, because we're still crying out for a CDM because Fred is not the guy, and Matic doesn't have the legs to play a certain amount of matches in the season. We obviously are crying out for that, but we didn't get that. We got Cristiano Ronaldo, which is a player that will take us a level higher. Right. But the question as well is that can we create the amount of chances that he requires to score? Because if you don't create a chance, the guy can't score. So,
but on that note, Selo, Paul Pogba is doing things. And you know, you have a player here where it's like, is he going to renew the contract? Is he trying to push for a move? What's his agent saying? Is his agent going to try and do something again? Now, suddenly, he's got Fernandez next to him, he's got Ronaldo up front, and all of a sudden, the player's going, you know what? There's no reason going to Juventus because what's there? Ronaldo was there. He's not there now. He's with me. Going to PSG, why would I go there? There's too many. Like, he's got something here. So maybe that's the player. This is the Pogba we're going to see that really reaches the next level because he's got a Ronaldo. And I think that's an exciting prospect if you're a Man United fan.
No, 100%. I think, Pogba's just, you know, he's just happy to be playing with players that are on the same wavelength, same level as him, you know. Pogba, you know, previously he was playing like at an Arsenal, basically, you know what I mean? Because Man United just didn't have the quality of players that he requires to play with, you know? And if you're the only good player in the team or the one that's sticking out the most and other guys are not helping out or they're not creating or not getting on the end of chances, you know, Pogba's a simple guy. He just wants to win titles, you know? And I think definitely we have the players for him to win a couple of trophies this season, but Solskjaer needs to definitely put everything together nicely, and I question some of his decisions, and I question how he will manage the squad this season. He's got a lot of options. He's probably stressed right now. Doesn't know who to put on. Even now he brought on Jesse Lingard for Ronaldo, up front right now. And we won, it's 1-1. So obviously we do need to get a chance, you know what I mean? So I don't know why he brought Jesse Lingard, where he could have brought Greenwood on. He could have brought on Martial, you know, instead of Greenwood. I mean, instead of Lingard, sorry. So I don't understand that, you know what I mean? Does that make sense, guys? Imagine you, it's 1-1. It's 1-1 right now, guys, right? And you need a goal to win, right? And if you get a chance, cool. Maybe Ronaldo doesn't have the legs to stretch guys on a counter attack, but you've got Greenwood, you've got Martial. Why you bring on Lingard? No striker now. No striker, guys. No.
All right. So what we know, and I know that's all obviously the frustration coming out for good reason, but so we know Cole was also saying with Ole, I don't think we'll win the league. So I think it's safe to say the only doubt that people have right now for United is the coach. So if 100%. The coach had to be replaced, and this is a quick fire, I want quick fire answers here. I'm going to ask Wonga and all of you. If the coach is to be replaced, which manager would be the right manager to come into the club right now? Wonga, let's hear it.
I don't know. maybe someone like Jack a Conte, but I don't know if it's taken. But I think Conte. Someone like a Conte would be the right person. You'd definitely win the league with Man United, 100%.
Matt?
I'll ask you to be next. Oh, Matt. Then me. Or who's next? I don't know who's next. Who's
you.
Next?
You. You after Matt.
Okay.
Oh, so I must go. I think give it to Jack Wilshere. Boy needs a job. You know. Why not?
Probably be better than Ollie. Okay. So who would you give it to? Who's your ideal candidate for the job?
Stevie Bruce, I think.
Yeah, back to another legend.
You know, the first conversation that you would have with Ronaldo, and Ronaldo would be like, listen, I don't drink Coke and I don't eat pies. There goes his whole strategy, Steve Bruce.
Yeah. Force feeding him a sausage roll.
There isn't much, obviously, in terms of coaches available. I guess Conte is a serial winner and stuff like that. You know, he's won at Juventus, Inter, and Chelsea. I'm not sure I like his style of play, but it's a winning style of play. But maybe a Zidane, man. I think Zinedine Zidane, I'll definitely take a Zizou.
Zidane?
Yeah, he
would do well, yeah.
I think he'd take a
Zidane. You think so?
I agree with that. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
You agree with that. Zidane, the head coach of Man United, he'll do well.
Yeah.
100%.
I think so.
The guy won, he won what, 4 Champions Leagues in a row? He won a,
three.
La
three
Liga. Yeah, 3 in a row.
I think he also won without
Ronaldo and his team. Come on. He won a league without Ronaldo. Come on.
Yeah, but remember where he was coaching. He was at Madrid. That was pretty much his playground. I think compared to managers in the past, he didn't receive as much criticism to other guys. I think because he is loved in Spain. I would love to see.
He did the business.
But in England,
he did the business.
Hey, you can criticize someone who wins 3 Champions Leagues in a row.
To win Champions Leagues,
you know, yeah, no one's done that. I'm not taking away from it. That's incredible. But to win a Champions League, right, versus win the Premier League, we do know La Liga is normally a 2-horse race, maybe throw Atletico in a 3-horse race. Premier League, as things stand, how many sides are competing, technically speaking? We're just looking at the start. It's a lot. So what I'm saying is, if he had to come in there and make Man United league champions, this is what I'm asking. You think he's the right guy? Like, he would be right for that job.
He's a good coach.
Who'd be better than that, Claudio? Yes. Who's your guy?
He's a good coach.
Well, I mean, you've already touched on Conte. He's already won the Premier League. He knows the ins and outs. It's just his style might not be compatible with Man United. Okay, but if he's available, that's the thing.
So Klopp came to the Premier League and he hadn't won the Premier League. So he was not the right guy to take Liverpool forward.
No, I didn't say that.
How's that the
same thing?
But it's not the same thing because if you look at Klopp coming to the Liverpool phase. But your coach has never won anything in Man United aren't
in a space where they can be given affordance of transition. They're not there. They've signed Ronaldo. They've spent the money that they've spent. The question is if there's a manager that can come in right now and win the league and compete.
Zidane,
the guy.
100%. And he's played with Cristiano Ronaldo. He's been with Zidane. He's been with Varane. Goodness me, he knows Martial. Probably knows if Martial stays even. Martial probably get more game time. Not thinking about it. But I definitely think Zidane would be the great guy. And I think Zidane knows how to get the best out of his players, because I think the last league title he won, I mean, with the players he had, There's no, goodness me. He did, I think he did a good job. And he didn't have Ronaldo. Yeah, I mean, gee whiz.
You see, that's taking out 40 goals in the season. That's the thing with Conte and his style of play, man. He's definitely a Chelsea style of play person because Chelsea.
Very funny.
Good point.
So for all the listeners, we are premature. So, I mean, Pums is asking a valid question. Why are we firing Ole?
He won this weekend, and here we are firing him. Arteta still has a job, but we're firing Ole.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair point. There's nothing some interesting things. Thanks, Pums. We'll now move on. Quick one from a Chelsea perspective. 3-0 Aston Villa. I mean, this was routine based.
Lukaku, but also, getting like, guys, who could have seen Lukaku rocking up and scoring so many goals? Like,
who thought this would happen?
Hey?
Not Mosa.
That was a shrewd buy. Sometimes they unearth a hidden gem at Chelsea.
Yeah, so as
Graham Souness would say, what's it? He spent £100 million in him, so what do you expect?
Only bring on Martial now. Fuck you.
And it's 86 minutes.
See, Pums, yeah. This is why apparently
Ole is getting fired. Yeah.
You can see firsthand why he's getting fired. Come on now.
Goodness me.
Oh, here we go. Darren throwing in Ferguson's name back into the ring. The last dance. Might as well put the band back together. I mean,
can you imagine, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I hear you there, Darren.
That, you know, that's what? Watch the season go on. Say by January, things don't the December period. They don't go the way they want, and they say, "Fine, let's put Ferguson in until the rest of the season, and they'll win the league." And then he retires again. Can you imagine that?
It's not fair on the old man. Let the man retire. Like, he has earned the right to just chill out. It is also pretty damning that this far after he's retired, United are still like, there's no one who can do what he did. Like, you know, they should by now be able to attract a level of talent who can do what Ferguson did, not for as long as he did. I don't think there'll ever be a Ferguson kind of someone who's at the top of their game for that long.
Yeah.
But there should be someone who can come in and take this collection of players and achieve something with them.
What a save from De Gea.
And I think that's...
What a save from De Gea.
I mean, who's saying that? Fred, who said that? If Zidane comes in...
Zidane comes in, I'm sure Fred won't play.
Kola doesn't know. Zidane will turn Fred into Ronaldinho, son. That guy gets good. He gets the best out of his players. I'm pretty sure he'll be able to do that. I think
what you've seen here, Kola and Matt and Siddle, this is the sort of disillusionment that Arsenal fans are under, that a player like Fred can be turned into Ronaldinho.
Do you guys see this picture?
What is that? Okay,
which one?
This is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Coaching.
He's coaching.
You see now. Player manager. That's what's happening. Player manager.
Cristiano Ronaldo is coaching. Time. Look.
Could you imagine that's what happens?
And look at him. Look there. He's coaching.
I can see that happening, yeah? And then eventually long-term coach. Why not? Anyway, going back to the Chelsea game, Pumalani saying Sol had a shocker. So that's quite interesting. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah, he's shocker.
Very distracted. No, listen, guys.
I've never, you know, the things as well is that I think, guys, we need to actually appreciate when these sometimes idiotic pundits, when they say that the Premier League is a different level and the fast paced and all of that stuff, because it is, guys. I saw it with Saul on the weekend. Saul thought that he is at La Liga playing Eibar or Getafe or something, and he thought he had more time on the ball. Guys, they snatched the ball away from him so many times. It wasn't a great game. It was a poor game from him. And I think he definitely needs some time to settle, because players do take time to settle. You know, I mean, if you look at Thiago took time to settle. You know, Havertz took time to settle. You know, a lot of guys, these guys took time to settle. So Saul, you shouldn't write him off yet. You know, he's a quality player, but he needs time to settle. If you haven't played in the Premier League before, you're going to get there, think that, you know, you can have 5 touches on the ball. No, man. Aston Villa is going to come on you. This is not Eibar. This is not Getafe. They're going to come on you and attack and pressurize you. So you need to be a bit more clever on the ball.
But with that being said, I think it's also just about, I mean, the players themselves as well. I mean, you saw Fernando Torres came. from La Liga. He wrecked the Premier League. Sergio Aguero as well came from there. He wrecked the Premier League. I mean, and vice versa, Ronaldo left here and he went there and he wrecked that side. But I think, yeah, I think it also just also falls down to the players themselves. I don't think there's any set. I get, yeah, the Premier League is competitive. But you get the guys in Spain, even though it's a two-horse race, the guys in Spain are winning it. Bayern Munich can also put a shout as well. So, it's a lot to say, but I get it is a better thing, but I think it has to do more with the player than really
just climatizing.
Than really with coming into a different
league. It's early days. Yeah. I think
depends on the role you're expected to play too. You know, like you talk about the strikers, you know, Torres and Aguero more recently. It's a different role. You know, their job in the team was different to what Saul's been asked to do maybe. So it's also a tough one. The Premier League does make different demands of players, but one bad day doesn't write him off. I think, you know, give the guy a bit of a time to settle. He's clearly got quality based on what we saw of him in Spain. He's a quality player. He knows what he's doing. Maybe just needs to take a bit of time and also get to know his teammates better. Cause when you bear in mind, you're going to take more touches on the ball when you're not 100% certain where everyone is. You can take less touches if you know, oh, I know he's going to be making a run now, so I can put it away already. I don't need to look up and look around and be certain. I already know. I've got that understanding. So as he gets gelling with the team, he won't be caught on the ball quite as much. He'll maybe be moving a bit quicker. So I give the boy some time. But, you know, as always, I think Chelsea this year is going to be all about Lukaku. It's going to be the Lukaku show. And eventually the dyed beard show here on Goal Lounge.
Yeah.
Yep.
So just updates on that.
I think
No, go ahead.
I was saying it's a, like, guys, Lukaku is a monster, man. I think, you know, his game has matured. It's changed. He's hungry for goals. And you saw, man, the way he took those goals, you know what I mean? I think he'll score, I think, 25 goals. I think
30.
Is 25 goals easily. He should definitely hit that. Musa, I don't know what does Musa have that we don't have? Because everyone in the show saw it coming and he didn't see it coming. And he must answer for this.
Yeah, so for the guys who don't know, guys watching who don't know, there's an ongoing, as a result of the Lukaku debate, we made a wager. So inevitably when Lukaku gets to, and I don't know if is the figure 20 goals or
20.
When Lukaku gets 20 goals this season, which we know he's going to do probably fairly early, Moose is going to dye his beard. It's bright blonde. He's going to bleach it.
Bleach it.
And I think we're going to film it. We're going to make it it's going to be a whole feature. It's going to be a montage of personal growth.
And he has to keep it on. It depends. What's it, Claudio? If he reads like 20 goals, like 25 games or something, he has to keep it until the end of the season. Or if he does it at the end of the season, then he has to keep it on for 2 weeks or something like that. I don't know.
That sounds
either way,
right.
It's going to be a thing of beauty. People will come from far and wide to see it and touch it. And we're all very excited.
Yeah, just like Darren says there, Mosa said he won't get eight originally. Yeah, Mosa was on the good stuff. I just want to put that out there. Yeah. But also, last thing, gentlemen, I think at this point, Man United, 10 points. Chelsea, 10 points. Liverpool, 10 points. Everton, 10 points. But when we're looking, and obviously Man City, 9 points. But when we're looking at these, Chelsea, you touched on it, Matt. Chelsea are, in your opinion, the front runners. Or do you, Selo Wonga, do you share that sentiment?
No, well, look, I mean, they have a chance. I think Man United, I mean, I think Ronaldo's going to be big for them. I can't lie to you. I honestly think it's going to be big for them. And you've got players like Bruno Fernandes, Pogba around them. I think United probably have a bigger shot than what Charles. I don't think you separate the two that much.
I just think it's United don't have all of the ingredients because they're missing the manager.
I agree. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But United have got Ole, Chelsea have got everything. They've got Tuchel who knows what he's doing. I think we can assume from our pundit's reaction, he's dropped his mic altogether. United have either scored or he has once again spilt his lasagna right down his front.
What has happened? I will check.
I think they ended 1-1. Was it 2-1? Did they end 2-1?
It's 1-1. No, it's 2-1. Yes, my boys! Let's go! Oh my goodness!
Big spill on the ball.
Jesse Lingard passes back to Jesse.
What a sub,
guys! Jesse Lingard literally passes the ball back. Makes a through pass to the young boy striker. Literally, pass back.
What is it? What is that one? Is it this? What 2.0?
Does it finish? Is that full time?
Ach, but they're still qualifying, man.
Was making the last
for season. Europa League.
So it's game done. Game's done.
Yeah, it's done. It's gone.
Wonga's enjoying himself there. Look at that. Look at him. Look at him poking fun at people. You know, if people living in glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones, Wonga.
Hey. Well, we can, at least we know for certain Arsenal and Tottenham aren't going to lose Champions League games this season. So, yes.
Yep, that's not a bad thing for Arsenal fans. Nothing to poor worry defending. About.
You know what poor defending is? Hey, my man, you guys do not poor defending is. Come watch an Arsenal game with me. You guys know poor defending is.
Wow.
Check the loss.
So Warren says Ronaldo must be pissed for being substituted for Lingard.
He is. He was even coaching. He was like, hey, I want to be there. Stand there. I stand there. No.
Let's just get him a PlayStation controller connected to Lingard and he must just run around.
Cyril's not happy. What about the commentary now, Cyril? Can we get something, can we post-match get an update there from this?
Pitch side reaction.
Pitch side. Let's hear it.
Punditry.
No, seriously, you can speak. You can speak now.
There's my commentary there.
There's the play.
There's Cyril.
2.0, Brian. I can't. It's one game. It's just one game. You guys will qualify, man. At least we're not scored.
Carlos, you don't know. Losing one game in the Champions League. That's not how it feels to be a Spurs or an Arsenal fan. I'd love to lose Champions League match this year.
Was the game on an artificial pitch?
It was. I heard it was.
Yeah, it was. Yo, guys, it was so. The outline, it's the ball. Like those guys, you could see, you know, the ball bounces high on artificial surface, guys.
Yeah.
You could see that those guys were anticipating the ball to land certain parts and it just goes a bit high and stuff, you know.
But guys, that could also explain why they took Ronaldo off, hey? Because that artificial turf is a lot harder on your joints and stuff. They could have been concerned about injury. So that could be also why he was taken off.
Also, old age, the joints, yeah.
Yeah, but okay, let's also not. We can't just blame the pitcher for this result, guys. I mean, this.
No, give it the pitch. We said the pitch on why Ronaldo came out. That's what he said. I didn't say anything about the result.
Okay. But I just want to bring this to light. I want to bring this to light. Cello, Nick did say that Ole's sort of reign at United is going to be judged on his Champions League performance. Yeah, look, Wonga's doing the Jalen's thing. But it is early days. So realistically, gents, if he doesn't make it, what's the minimum? What are we expecting from a United perspective from an Ole in the Champions League?
Guys,
what should he be his minimum?
Can we talk about Liverpool, guys? Man United is already gone.
Yeah, I think to close it off, I think if Ole doesn't get out of the group stage at least, surely there's going to be serious questions asked. But whether or not that'll result in him getting fired is another question, because the United hierarchy have shown they're willing to stick with LA through a Champions League defeat. So I think we'll see.
But good question. All right, you want to introduce the game for me?
Tell us about Liverpool.
Thank you, Matt. Now I can talk about my team. It's only taken us an hour and 10 minutes. Okay. Well, gentlemen, what do we talk about? I mean, we've got Darren here, Leeds. Oh, I'd like to hear his opinion on the game. I think, everything again, Nick. You know what? It's where he coaches for a living or something, because his analysis. You know, he's been saying that Leeds kind of need a bit of a B plan. Look, I think in the first 15 minutes or so, it was end to end sort of stuff between Liverpool and Leeds. I think they did give a good account of themselves, but the difference was when you are going to go head to head with a team that's got more quality than you, you really need to take your chances, and that they didn't. They didn't take their chances, and when Liverpool got theirs, they obviously. They took the chance, and that was the difference, I think. When we're moving forward, obviously, Pum's talking about the Harvey Elliott thing. That definitely overshadowed the result. And I think what was sad was you heard Morsa raving and ranting about Elliott. You've heard me talk about Elliott. Is a player that Klopp clearly trusts, an 18-year-old that started yet again, a player that benched Henderson and the week before benched Thiago. And him, obviously, you're just thinking, you know, what if Ronaldo had suffered an injury like that at the age of 18? What would have happened to the trajectory or of his career? And then you're thinking of this youngster, you go, you know, he's just hitting the ground running and you can see he's confident and he's got all the ability and something like this happened. So it was a bit of an awful sort of situation, completely accidental. The trailing leg catches his ankle and it does what it does. Yeah, I don't know. Now I'm just reporting on the incident, but what I did like about it was regardless of what he was going through, the moment he got stretchered off, the first thing he did was he acknowledged the fans. So he wasn't there like thinking about his next step. He wasn't there like in anguish going, oh, my career's over. He just went, thanks guys. Thanks for the support. And straight after that, as soon as he got put into the ambulance, he put a post out on the social streets saying, you know, these things happen. I'm out there and I'm going to keep pushing immediately. So you're kind of already looking at a player like this and you're going, if this had happened to many other young players, or if we're looking at Jack Walsh, for example, I mean, we can see what injuries did to his career. So let's hope he doesn't land up in that situation, but it seems like he's got a good head on him and he will bounce back in the club and, definitely Klopp or all behind him. But from the performance side, yeah, there's not much to say. I think we've got Mane, who had like 110 chances and he finally got his goal. He seems like he's overthinking things in the final third, which is a bit of a sad thing. We've got obviously Salah reaching his 100 Premier League goals, second African player to do that, which is another good feat. And again, all I'm looking at Chelsea having Lukaku, Ronaldo being at Man United, and then Liverpool having Salah, and I'm going, this is going to be a very exciting season. That's all I can say from my perspective. I don't know if any of you want to add.
Claudio, you're forgetting. Lukaku plays for Belgium. Salah plays for Egypt. Mane plays for Senegal. They out come next year, beginning of the year. They got the AFCON.
Belgium doesn't play in African Champions
League. No, that's what I'm saying.
He's making the point. He's saying the one's playing the other one. He's saying Lukaku is sticking around.
I get you.
These guys are used to jumping on your back.
Wonga. I should have listened to what you were thinking, but I actually listened to what you said.
No, that's so I'm saying they're going to be playing AFCON, Egypt and Senegal. So come. They're not going to really have a season with Lukaku, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot falling on Jota that time of year, right?
Yeah,
that's too good. Firmino.
I think they're going to make a signing at that point in time. And
They have to.
The rumors are that there's a guy by the name of Claudio Barreiro that might stick in some goals.
You know, I wouldn't mind, but I've currently got a plate in my shoulder with 9 screws. I don't know. I've been scheduled not to run for 3 months, so I'm definitely not the right man. I'm suffering an injury, but I would love to do it. You put me there. I'll do it. I'll strap this thing together. Anyway, no. But on a serious note, if we're looking at Liverpool, we're looking at what Leeds. I just want to go back to the Leeds conversation where you're looking at what Bielsa's done on the day, and you're going, even at one man down after the red card, which, you know, is technically, I know that the injury occurs, but it's actually a bit of a harsh red card because there's no intent there at all. He goes for the ball and it's a trailing leg. It's just consequential in a way. But as soon as the red card comes, as soon as it comes in, Bielsa doesn't change anything, which I quite thought was quite interesting because they sat a little bit deeper, but they still were gung-ho. And that's kind of where you go, okay, they kept the game at 2-0. Liverpool only scored the third game in extra time. So for a good 30 minutes, they played with a man down and they still kept going. And I just wonder, had they played more conservative or pragmatic from the get-go, would they have done something different? Look, they put Thiago under pressure. You know, they put Thiago under pressure. They put the other guys. Yeah, but I wonder, should he probably have a plan B for the bigger teams, and he doesn't do that. Maybe that's going to be the downfall. But look, they're going to be around this season and probably for the next season.
Claudio, I know I said that I wouldn't mention Man United, but I don't agree with Parukal. You know, you have one goal. As a team, when you go into the second half, you change your whole tactics from 4 at the back to now 5 at the back, right? Yeah, that's already it's a different tactic in total. A formation you've never played with the players that are on the park. He's never played a back five with Varane, Lindelof, and Maguire. That changes it. That changes things. You know what I mean? You can't do that as a coach. You know, you need to keep the back four. Maybe play a 4-4-1. You know, or whatever the tactic is. You know what I mean? Or a 4-3-2 or whatever it is. But then you decide to play a 5-3-1. Which doesn't make sense. Wonga, yes, we see it. Wonga, yes. Jesse Lingard is a stupid error. But I don't know if you're Oracle there. Paul just made the wrong subs, and he's proving again why he's not the right man for the job.
Can I just say, Porrigal's a Man United fan, but he wants to go play up front with me at Liverpool. I'm just putting that out there. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. He's my family, so I can't complain about that. Just in case you're wondering.
If you give me £100,000, I'll also play up front for Liverpool.
No, but you're gonna score own goals. This guy's gonna go and score own goals.
No, I won't. I'll score for you guys. I'll score 15 goals.
You know, 15 goals. How long is it gonna take you to break the drought? I think you're gonna be like on a sort of Peter Crouch, take 30 games to get his first goal.
I take penalties. I've never missed a penalty in a match. And I used to take penalties. I used to take the penalties for my primary school and my high school. So
I don't know. What a CV there, boy. Sign me up for Liverpool. I used to take penalties in my primary school and high school. I never missed. They're good man.
Never missed, bro.
You can only score the goals that are put in front of you, Claudio.
Exactly. I'm not that guy who scored one penalty out of one. No. Come on.
You know what? I can see us having a conversation with Ole or Klopp or bring Ronaldo into the show and say, hey, Celo, can you show them how to take a penalty? Whip out your CV so they can be intimidated. Please do that.
All we got to say is never missed a penalty.
Never.
In all his years of playing. And we're talking here at least a 12-year career. Primary school and high school.
Yeah, and that's true, bro. You know,
how many players can say that? Not many.
Not many. You're right. I've missed tons. But I've taken more than the average person too.
It's not a competition. You're both very pretty.
Anyway, back to the football. I just want to say one last thing. Darren's saying Leeds are woeful. Yeah, so the first 20 minutes were okay. We haven't hit the standards of last season. We have a center forward, Rodrigo, who, by the way, I thought when they made that signing was a terrible signing because I don't think he's the greatest of players, personal opinion. Calvin Phillips doing the job of three players, which is, I mean, a lot of hard work for one player to do. We need to hit our stride soon. If we don't get 3 points against Newcastle on Friday, he'll be really concerned. It's funny how Newcastle is that benchmark, isn't it? If they beat you, you're in big trouble.
Well, I think for Leeds, it would be symbolic. You know, I think this was again a season much like Leicester, where they probably expected to kick on and do some more. They had a fantastic season last season compared to what their expectations, what a lot of people's expectations of them were. And again, they've started very lackluster, just not quite looked themselves. They've been found out a little bit as well, and that lack of a plan B is clearly showing. And I think Darren's bang on. If they don't beat Newcastle, and I think also put in a convincing performance against Newcastle, not just scrape a win. I think they need to really show what they've got. Then I think it'd be quite right to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Fair point. Gentlemen, it comes to that time where we're going to wrap up the show. Final thoughts, Wonga, Denga, Matthew, and then Celo. Let's hear them. Come on.
Let's hear this.
You have the final thoughts.
Look, I'm just happy we got our first win. But I don't think we out of anything yet. That's all I have to say.
Well, I mean, you got to explain what you're doing, because we did put this up as a podcast too, and people, they can't see that.
What? People know what, everyone knows what this is. Goodness me, and me as Arsenal fans, surely everyone knows what that is.
Okay, so if you're listening to this, you're just going to have to watch us on YouTube so you can see what Wong is doing. Okay, Matthew, final thoughts? Seems like we've lost Matthew. Right, Celo, final thoughts.
I thought he's keeping still.
I'm still as well, guys. Let's see how the season pans out. I think obviously Man United's got a couple of tough fixtures in the October end of September, October, November time. Solskjaer, tough games, tough situations is where he's been found out. And yeah, he's been found out tonight. Let's see what he does in those tough games and how he sets up. And you know what I mean? And I think as a manager, you need to definitely inspire your team, make the right decisions in tough situations as well. But if you're not making the tough decisions and the right decisions, then that's what separates the good managers from the bad managers, guys. Is
that's true.
The big games, and also when something happens in the game, you know, you get a red card, something, you know, those type of things. You go behind 1-0 down. Those situations are when you get tested. And tonight he failed the test. There'll be other tests coming up, and let's see how he does in those tests. If he fails the test, then he has to go.
He has to go. Look, Stu Mack saying, Ole following the footsteps of Sir Alex, murdering an easy Champions League group. Silo, you want to touch on that quick?
No, I don't want to. It's okay. I've said what I've said. Let's continue. It's the first game. I don't know what he wants me to say.
No, I don't know. He's just putting that out there. Can you see a comparison based on his past experience too?
He's saying like, following footsteps of Sir Alex, murdering an easy Champions League group. Man, listen, Sir Alex is one two Champions Leagues. So I don't know what else does Sir Alex have to do.
All right, fair enough. To everyone who joined us live today, we appreciate your attendance. Matthew's been taking stock and looking at the attendance sheet, so congrats. He might be in touch with you to give you a little something. Our goal for this week is to get 5 more followers or subscribers, so if you know anyone, make sure they're subscribed. Yeah, Matt, you're going to do that. You're going to call people.
Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell your spouse, tell your partner, tell whoever, and you know, tell the kids, everyone, follow, subscribe, like, everything. Amazing group of guys, amazing group of lads. Sometimes we swear, so maybe the kids can't watch every single time, but
only when United are playing and they lose to Young Boys. So if you go back earlier, you might hear one or two words. Wonga, yes. Remember, gentlemen, I just want to say thank you for joining me this evening. And remember, if you don't know what to be
cool.
Oh, that was well choreographed. Well,